Hi, Bob.
White House staff members are freaking out today. Faux podcast or whatever.
That there was actually a prank call. Fake Bob Menendez, real Stuttering John Melendez.
Did this comedian just prank the president?
Courtesy of the Stuttering John podcast.
I can't believe this.
All right. Welcome to the Stuttering John podcast. And that intro was put together by our engineer here, Don. Don, great job.
Thank you.
And it has been a very, very crazy, crazy week. And, you know, okay, we recorded a podcast on Tuesday, right, Royce?
Yeah, Tuesday.
On Tuesday. But I said things that I didn't know I wasn't allowed to say. And because of the sensitivity of everything, as you know, with the, you know, with the Secret Service and Avenatti, I just said things that could get me put behind bars. So, Royce, again, I will say to you, please, if I'm, because you talked to Avenatti, I had you on the phone. Royce and I were having breakfast with a television producer who's going to try and get this, you know, a show of ours sold based on this call, which is amazing. But Avenatti texted you and said, call me right back in reference to the Secret Service.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Royce talked to him, and I'm sitting there. We're at the breakfast table, Don, and I'm sitting there, and Royce is on the phone with Avenatti for like 4 or 5 minutes, and he's not, like, giving me any indication what the hell's going on. Right. I'm like, what? Up, fingers down. Will you see me do that?
Yeah, but I'm like, so you understand this guy is giving me, like, insane legal advice, and I'm, like, trying to make sure I get it all and not gauge your, like, thumbs up, thumbs down, because at this point, I'm still not even sure.
I know, but my ass is in jeopardy, and I mean that literally.
You know, you made that joke at the breakfast table, and the elderly couple across the way shot you a look.
But anyway, so we just said, screw it. You know, there was too many edits, right, Don, for you to take all that out. It would just not seem... So we waited, and obviously yesterday was the 4th of July. Happy 4th of July, everybody. And it's funny, Royce, because, you know, I got up 2:30 4th of July morning because I couldn't sleep because of all this. And I've been really, really stressed out. And of all this, I mean, when you think you're going to jail, you know, it really takes a lot out of you. And you and I going on the media tour, it was like every single show.
It's crazy.
And NBC, MSNBC... you know, help me out. TMZ, you know, what else?
Honestly, it's everywhere because there was countless radio shows you were doing in the car rides between the other studios. Several blogs, Huffington Post. I mean, at one point you were on the phone with AJ Benza. Like, that's how much media attention this got, that AJ was trying to scoop it.
Yes. So we did so much. And so I got up at 2:30 yesterday morning and I didn't sleep. And then I went to my friend's, you know, 4th of July party. So I even showed up late for this podcast today.
Yeah.
I didn't get in till 2 o'clock in the morning, but I was hanging out last night with Ross Matthews. You know Ross?
Yeah, sure.
From he was Ross the intern on the Tonight Show, and now he's on Drag Queens, which was nominated 8 times, for 8 Emmys. And I was hanging out with Ross, and you know, we were having a few beers, and it was just a crazy thing. So I didn't get back home from Burbank till 2, so I apologize for being late. Now, okay, so first let me just thank you, everybody, for the great response and all the support I've gotten from the Twitter sphere and from actual celebrities, and we'll talk later, Kathy Griffin called me. And you know, Royce, like, I didn't know. I told you Kathy Griffin called me. The whole time I forgot the fact that she released a picture of Donald Trump.
Yeah, I'm like,
the severed decapitated head, whatever.
It's a crucial piece of information to lapse on.
I had no, I just didn't remember because I've known Kathy for so long from being on the Tonight Show. I just didn't put the two and two together. But I didn't do anything nearly as crazy as she did.
No, not at all. But I'm sorry. I was laughing because you said actual celebrities, and then I was thinking of, like, the difference between those people that may have been tweeting in your support prior to this call versus, like, the level of celebrity that have backed this call is insane.
No, I know. And that's – so let me just think – well, first of all, Bill O'Reilly, you know, who's – account, I mean, his account is Boar, which is what I think he is. So, you know, Boar.com. I mean, didn't he think that BOR.com was going to, like, you know, imply Boar?
Well, he doesn't have Michael Avenatti looking over everything for him, okay?
But the only time that guy has ever done anything good to me is when he was like, we'll do it live! We'll do it now!
They don't think things through in that group. They're the ones who, they first named themselves Teabaggers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Tea Party, remember? Their first name was Teabaggers until somebody explained it to them.
Yeah, well, okay, that's but Bill terrible. O'Reilly doesn't support you.
No, he said... So, all right, I'll go through these. He says, should the prankster who got through to President Trump be charged with a crime? The Secret Service was involved, and that guy might go down. Fair analysis on board.com.
He's trading on your name.
Fair analysis. Like, yeah, okay. Yeah. When have you been fair, Bill?
And what is he charging for that fair analysis? Is that like $5 a month?
That should be our next prank calls to Bill O'Reilly.
As Donald Trump.
Yes. Did you put any clips together, Don?
Yeah.
Because we thought about doing this, like, you know, the old... Hi, yeah.
Hi, hold on.
Okay. All right. There it's okay.
Hi, Bob. We're in
business.
Yeah, yeah. So we... Do we have any others, or is that the only one so far?
Oh, we got stuff.
Yeah, yeah?
Take care. I will speak to you soon.
Yeah, so this is what we're going to do. So we're just going to call people as Donald Trump.
But
we're
I think...
proud of you.
I think you could actually, because... Bill O'Reilly's such an egomaniac, you could just call him Bob and probably still get through.
Yeah, I know. Right?
Happens all the time, the B names.
Yeah.
So this is awesome. And I got, look, you know, Cinderella Man, I loved Solo. I mean, just one of the greatest directors, Ron Howard. Ron Howard, you know, I can't remember some more of his movies, but he's done so many great
Willow.
Movies. Figures Royce knows Willow.
Cocoon?
I wasn't going to give you a good
Cocoon,
one.
Cocoon, no, there's so...
Apollo 13?
Apollo 13, yeah, I know. He's awesome, and he's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
Ron Howard's one of the nicest guys, and he retweeted me when I wrote, Secret Service about to arrest me, unbelievable, they should arrest Jared Kushner for putting the call through. Shame on Donald Trump, who's been a friend of mine. And he retweeted it. How cool is that?
That's amazing.
Ron, if you can get me in... Like,
Solo 2.
Yeah, Ron, if you can get me a cameo in one of your movies. I mean, hell, Benji from The Stern Show is in Sharknado. Now, speaking of Solo, this is my favorite. I love, and I think you got a little chilled by this one.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill tweeted me, and Hamill himself, verified account, to Donald Trump, and he was like, yeah, he's writing this to Donald. You should have immediately walked out of Air Force One instead of giving Stuttering John an interview.
I love it.
That's Ron Howard. That's fucking Luke Skywalker.
No, that's Mark Hamill.
Oh,
but yeah.
But you know, they're both.
They're like right there together.
Sorry. That's Mark Hamill. That's fucking Luke Skywalker.
You've made a massive impact on the Star Wars universe this week, is what I'm really taking away.
Now, Elaine Boozler, who is a comedian, or comedian, you say now, and who was whose boyfriend, I think, punched Baba Booey. Did you ever hear that tape?
No.
Oh, yeah, it was an old Stern show, and Elaine Boozler was on. I wasn't there. They were doing the Grammys. They would go out to L.A., and I guess, you know, Howard was trying to interview Elaine, and his boyfriend, like, pushed Gary and was like, no fucking way are we doing your show. And Gary started screaming at her, you unfunny piece of shit, and it was a whole big thing.
Really?
Yeah, but Elaine Boozler said... And she DM'd me this, and she also, you know, said it. John, count on me for bail. You have done the country a great service, showing there is no one running the show for security. Hackers must be having a picnic. You deserve to be on a stamp. That's nice. How exactly did Jared Kushner get security clearance?
It's amazing that nobody's focusing on that.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing, you know, like, Royce, you know, and we'll talk about this in a few minutes, but you know how... stressful it has been with the Secret Service and with Avenatti and all this, right? I mean...
Oh, I'm living it with you. I mean, I can only imagine from your perspective when you go to bed at night that locking that door must not feel like enough.
No. And so, but we'll talk about that in a little while. Let me just get through more of these people. Let's see. The X-Man. This is incredible, absolutely incredible. I wish I would have picked up the phone and gave former President Obama a call when he was in office. I had no clue that was something that was in the realm of possibility. It's like taking a weekend trip to Mars or something. That's pretty cool. See, I mean, that's the kind of thing that I've been getting, and just all these people. You know, a friend of mine, Randy, I'm having problems with R's lately. I don't know what it is, but Randy Mayhem Singer, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, that's her. Yeah.
Mrs. Doubtfire that she wrote, and she said, Stuttering John is able to prank Donald Trump and get a live call from Air Force One. What the hell is Vladimir Putin able to do? And that's the truth. And I think that's what's really embarrassing to Trump, because now, look, if I could dupe them, you don't think the Russians can?
Do you want to call in the Vladimir Putin as Donald Trump? Because we have all these drops now.
I think that's what we got to do.
I'd be more concerned about the KGB than the Secret Service.
Oh, that's true. I mean, they'll kill you and you'll never hear about it again.
Do you think the Kremlin has a number like the White House does?
I'm sure they have his cell phone number.
Something.
Listen, this is how it happened last time. Google the Kremlin.
And then here is a...
I'm just going to move over here.
And there's a tweet from... Michael Avenatti himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, this was the greatest, because Avenatti is evidently, like, didn't it just come out today that it looks like he's running for president?
Yeah, how amazing is that? I mean, I've been talking to the next president of the United States for the last 5 days. This guy, I mean, could you imagine now if you went up in his cabinet?
Oh, well.
Because you would be, honestly, even if they just made you the White House phone screener, I think that you should totally be in Michael Avenatti's administration.
Yes, and thank you, Michael, again, for handling this for me. A friend of mine who's a big Trump supporter, who produced the Gotti film, was like, John, why would you pick Avenatti? Trump hates him. Then he's really going to make an example of you, because he hates Avenatti. And I don't know. I picked Avenatti because Avenatti is awesome.
I think strategically you pick a guy like that because Trump doesn't need any more Avenatti taking down Trump in the press. And every time that they can put Stormy Daniels up on that lower third on the screen, it probably makes Trump cringe. So,
yeah. I mean, I thought it was a pretty smart choice, but he was like saying that I'm going to get myself more in trouble. But anyway, Avenatti tweets. Imagine our adversaries in the world as they learned how easy it was for a comedian to bypass security measures and reach the president. They are rolling. Once again, Mr. Trump has made the U.S. the brunt of jokes and brought embarrassment to what we are all about as a nation. Where is our, pomp and circumstance music? Hail to the Chief.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah.
Dude, I'm a little out of it, Royce.
We'll have it in time for your 2020 campaign.
I had a great 4th. It was 4th of July. I'm hanging out with Ross, the intern, and with the girl who I was meeting with when I was on the phone.
Oh yeah.
With Trump, I was supposed to meet her, and when Trump called me, she's texting me, "I'm here," and I'm like, I'm trying to three-way Trump in. So I was like, I'm not even responding because I'm on the phone with Trump.
Crazy.
But anyway, so
sorry I was late. I was on Air Force One.
And then anyway, she was there, and then Rainn Wilson texted me. Rainn Wilson from The Office. Yeah. And it's so funny because Rainn's kid Walter and my kid Oscar were on the same baseball team when they were like 5 and 6. And they didn't really care about baseball. But anyway, my son was like shooting bow and arrows out in left field. And Walter was out there just staring at the clouds, and balls would get hit to them, and they wouldn't move. And Rainn and I would laugh. But the coach and the managers of these little kids are screaming at them,
sure.
And the parents are screaming at them, and it's crazy. But Rainn and I would just laugh because we're just like, they're fucking kids, And like, by the way, because every kid's got to play one position, they put my son behind home plate as catcher, and every pitch thrown to him, He would just move his head the other way and move out of the way of the ball. But Rainn and I became friends over that, and he wrote me a blurb, for the book.
So what are these guys saying when you're at this party? Are they all like, "Oh, John, congratulations"?
I'm like, they just want to hear, how it happened. No one, like, don't you remember, Royce? Royce, when this first happened. I told you I'd stutter. This is why I drink beer when normal. It's in the morning now, so this is why. But I stutter more when. Anyway, they all want to know what the hell happened, and that's what. When we first made the call, we were shocked the next day that nobody picked it up. Remember,
there was a very weird chunk of time where we all felt defeated.
Yeah,
we're like, we have correct, this piece of gold.
Yeah, and there was people at my pub that I go to, one the bartender, and they all didn't believe me.
I will tell you, because I was with you the next day, watching them backtrack and parse out their words was incredible.
Yes, you were there.
They're like, John, I didn't say we didn't believe you. We said it was unbelievable.
Yeah. I know.
Wait a second. I know. Wait a second.
Exactly. That's why I like having Royce around. He remembers all.
I feel like a friggin' court stenographer this
week. Yeah, it's like, no, you really. So, you know, what happened was how this thing happened. I'm almost done with the tweet. Let me just end it with the last tweet. I'm trying to be organized here. Birdie Maker writes, dude, that blew my mind. That was a Rolls Royce of phony phone calls.
Hey, there you go.
I mean, that's what we should, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we should have that on the Stuttering John podcast. The Rolls, the Rolls Royce of phony podcasts.
Home to the Rolls Royce of phony phone calls. Well, let me ask you this real quick. Because it's really not a phony phone call. It's kind of more of a prank call. But it still kind of takes the cake no matter what, right? Like, how do you feel?
You know what? That's what, you know, like, I get some people like, you know, how dare you do that? And, you know, it's, you know, I didn't do any jokes, which I wasn't planning on. As you recall, when we first did it, I was going to talk to him about policy.
That's all on the podcast for everybody to hear.
Correct.
Yeah, I was just going to talk to him the same thing. It wasn't, but the real, I think, prank of it all is how easily I was to get through. And that says a lot about the security of the White House and just how stupid
you threw Jared up a Kushner, lot of red flags along the way.
And how stupid Jared Kushner is. I mean, Royce, don't forget, just to bring back so that people know what happened. This is the best part. The week before we had Jackie the Joke Man on, that was our big get.
Right.
And this week.
And that was hard enough.
Yeah. And this week, I was trying to get Casey Armstrong. Howard Stern Show. And Casey said he was too busy. And so, more unbelievable than this phone call is that Casey was too busy.
I bet you Jared Kushner could have gotten you Casey.
So, we didn't have Casey. And it was Royce's idea. He had mentioned it 2 weeks before. He was like, you know, we should call the White House. And so, I was waiting for a time we didn't have a guest. So thank you, Casey, you fucking idiot. You know, you're too busy. And then this is how dumb Casey is. I ask him to do the show, and he says no to me. Literally two hours later, he asked me to do his show. I'm like, you just said no to calling in on my show, Casey. Now you want me to do your show?
Well, you really think those two thoughts coexist in his head?
No, he's not. You know,
one at a time.
No, he's not the brightest bulb. He is not the sharpest tool in the shed. This is why. I mean, he should be on Air Force One screening calls for Howard. I mean, for Donald. But anyway, so.
Well, yeah, he put up more resistance.
He probably went, hey,
we're too busy.
He's too busy. Doing what?
What was Casey Armstrong doing that he was too busy?
Nah, Casey's got some, no offense, and I love you, Case, but he's got some, like, OCD or, I don't know, maybe he's not OCD, but some anxiety issues. And I think, like, because of the day it was or the hour it was, he couldn't call. It's something like that kind of superstitious kind of related. I'm telling you.
But are you telling me you still couldn't get him on the show now?
No. And then he asked me again to do his show. And I'm like, I'm not even responding to him. But, I mean, I guess I indirectly have to thank him, because if he wasn't too busy, we would have never made this call.
Why don't you tell him you're too busy, but you can get him Sean Moore?
Yeah. So, anyway, so Royce says, let's call the White House. And I said, all right, like, find me the number. Royce Googles White House, you know, and we get the number. And then I call in as Stuttering John Melendez. And, you know, and then, you know, I say, I'm friends with Donald. And they hang up. They say, no.
Nobody's friends with Donald.
So they hang up. And then Royce says, just like in My Cousin Vinny, let's change a letter and let's call in his Bob Menendez, as opposed to John Melendez, the Calo Gallo thing. So then we do it, this is where I kind of took over and said, I'm going to do it in the English Sean accent, because that's the only accent I know how to do, and I do it badly. All my friends at the English pub that we hang with, it's like the worst English accent. I call back, yes, this is Sean Moore. I represent Senator Bob Menendez. We're wondering if we can get the president on the phone. Like, who? I go, Sean Moore. Sean is in Connery. Moore is in Roger. I'm a big Bond fan. Now, Royce, shouldn't they have stopped at that? I'm a big Bond fan.
I think you and Rainn Wilson's kid could have screened this call better.
I mean, I didn't name myself, you idiot.
Well, and then the other thing is, too, is like, you're saying it's the worst English accent ever, and I'm thinking maybe not, because
yeah,
this woman obviously bought it.
Yeah, so then they call back, well, like 5-10 minutes later, and they say, we have one question for you. Because you called from your cell phone, right? I said, yes. Yes. And they said, well, why do you have an 818 number? I'm like, oh, that's because we're on holiday. And they bought it.
You answered the phone as you first.
Yes. I get an answer.
No English accent. Yes. Not just John.
This is how badly thought out this was, is that I answered as me again. Yes, hello.
I mean, people really need to understand that what you hear is the extent of the thought put behind this. That's kind of, to me, almost as fascinating as the call itself.
A lot of people only heard the call.
Yeah, you know, there was no planning. And so you should listen to last week's podcast again. Yeah. It's on iTunes.
It's on iTunes. You can go and Google it.
Episode 8.
Yeah, but I want to, you know, so, but anyway, this will be episode 9, right?
9.
Episode 9. But then, so then I was, okay, so then they bought that. Now I think, and then it's over. So we end the podcast, and I'm driving to the date. I'm in my car, and I get a call, and I look at it, and it's 202 area code, and just the digits, the way it was, I just knew something was going to happen. And I think I called you before the call to see how I could record it, and we were scrambling.
I think so.
And yeah, because we were scrambling, because I guess you can't record. Well, first of all, it's illegal to record someone from California.
Of course, we were thinking about that.
Yeah. And I tried every way. Like, I tried hitting, you know, like the voice, like everything, and it would not work. So that's why I think you said, well, you got to change your outgoing message to Sean Moore while we try and figure this out. So then I went and changed the outgoing message. It's still there.
By the way, I'm calling you this morning,
yeah,
and I'm like, I'm getting Sean Moore, yeah, and I'm like, this is not, I can't get an answer.
Yes, because I was late. But yeah, so the voice message still is, this is Sean Moore. Please leave a message.
No. It says, please call back. Keep calling back.
So anyway, so I do all that. Then I get the call from Jared Kushner. He calls, and Jared has a high-pitched voice. So he calls, hey, hi, this is Jared, it's Jackie.
Hello, hello.
No, he goes, hey, this is Jared Kushner. I'm on Air Force One. And again, I answer the phone like me. Yes, hello. He goes, yeah, this is Jared Kushner. I could pull, Donald Trump out of a meeting now, out of Air Force One, or we can call you back. And then I realize I have to be Sean Moore. Oh, yes, Jared, yes. Do me a favor. It's okay. You can just go along with the meeting. Call me back. Call the senator back. Okay, I'm like, he goes, okay, good. So we'll call you back in like 20 minutes. So I'm like, holy shit. So I call my friend Justin, who's like, he's a prankster like me, and he's in New York, thank God, because you can record people.
Yeah.
So I go, Justin, if I get a call, I'm going to third party you in. And just when you're rolling, you know, I'm going to say, Senator, are you there? Just say yes. And then I'll know that you're rolling. That's our code. So sure enough, 20 minutes later, Donald Trump, I get the call again. And it's not Jared or something. It's another like person on Air Force One. And they go, yes, we're trying to get, again, an answer. I get an answer phone. Hello? Yes, we're trying to get a hold of the senator. Oh, yes, let me patch him in. Now I'm driving, and I'm scrambling, and I'm trying to type Justin. I'm typing in J-Y-S-T. I mean, I'm, like, freaking out, because, I mean, and I so I finally get him in. I go, hello, senator, are you there? He goes, yes. And then I took it from there, and they put me on hold, and then a minute later. Hey, a minute later.
Hi, Bob.
You know, it's amazing, too, because you're in real life when all this is going on. There's no audience. There's no microphones. There's no context. Of course you're going to answer the phone as you.
Yeah, right?
You know what I mean? Like, you're not prepared for this. And it still worked.
And it's weird, Russ, because, you know, I had to drop off some stuff off at my kid, you know, as a scholarship at UCSB. And then, you know, and then I figured out her Tums, and I was an hour back home, but I had to drive another hour back. You know, I got the Tums far. So it was a stressful day. Then we came here. We did the podcast. Now I'm going to be late for a date.
That's right.
And, you know, now I'm being late for a date, and all this is going on. But, I understand how important this is. So anyway, so I talked to Donald, and you all know the call. You can go listen to the last week's podcast, or you can go on, where do we have it, on YouTube?
It's everywhere. It's on the Stuttering John YouTube channel. It's on the podcast. It's everywhere.
Yeah, so, you know. So then I talked to him about immigration reform, and I even said to him, like, Donald, I'm Hispanic. I got to report to my constituents.
Yeah.
And I'd really like to get the kids back with their families. What can you tell me that you're going to do? And then he gives his usual. I want to handle this not in a small way, in a big way. And then I say, and then after we get done with that, then I do what's really on my mind, the Supreme Court justice pick. I go, as you know, Donald, Justice Kennedy is stepping down. He was a Reagan appointee, but he was a moderate. You will have my vote along. I'll get you more votes if you promise me to pick a moderate Supreme Court justice. Well, Bob, I have some big names in the... That's the big thing.
I have a big list of people.
I love you, Don. Yeah, so he does that, and then, you know, he's got a huge list, and I'm talking to him. And then and then at the very end, we're hanging up. I go, and a Baba Booey to you all.
Yeah. You know who else had a huge list of people?
Who?
I'm just saying. I have a big list of people.
Draw your own conclusions.
I'm trying to figure out.
Adolf.
Hitler, I thought list. You were going that. I thought you were going.
Schindler, but also had a list.
Yeah, that was Schindler.
Well, you got the point. I also love, too, when you ask about immigration, that it sounds like a McDonald's order from his perspective. He's like, I prefer the larger solution over the smaller. Like,
I'll have the big gulp.
Yeah. I prefer the 20-piece McNugget over the 8-piece. Somebody on Twitter called it word salad.
Oh,
that's all it is.
Yeah, it is. It really is. You know, they said that he speaks like a fourth grader. Like, communication analysts.
What do you think?
Yeah, and I'm not saying I'd speak any better, but, I mean, he's on a fourth grade speaking level.
No, but I'm legitimately asking you. You had a conversation with him. Would you place him at a fourth grade level, or do you think maybe...
I don't know. When my youngest son was in fourth grade, he was way more eloquent and sophisticated in his conversation.
Kid, what do you want for dinner? I prefer the bigger solution.
Suddenly my kid is Jared Kushner.
Yeah, that's it.
But so that's what happened. Now, our lawyer, Avenatti, said that we can't talk about the exact details, but we're going to get into this.
Please be
careful. So here we go. So now, Royce, again, if I say something I'm not supposed to, you're going to point to Don, and Don, you're going to play.
Hi, Bob.
Okay.
Yeah, what concerns me is there's a significant delay between me cueing Don, yeah. Don hitting the button, and you right. Shutting up.
All right, well, just tell me, just say out loud, nope. Or just give me something.
Just
say Baba Booey every time if I say something.
Oh, great. Just how about just don't say anything wrong?
Well, you think I know what the hell to do?
No.
I have no filter. Jay Leno wrote his foreword for my book, The Guy's Got No Filter. I'm sorry. I'm going to digress before we talk, because I know people are waiting to hear what happened to Secret Service. When I was on The Tonight Show, Michelle Obama was a guest. And, you know, we were in rehearsal. They have the TV. I'm sure you know. They have the TV on mm-hmm. in all the dressing rooms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, it's me. And we're on. And they play, one of my drop-ins. That's like a video joke. So this is where they either get approved to go on the show or not. And they played one of them. And it was a debate. Is that good? Or Jay's like, I don't know. It's kind of funny. We should do it. And then somebody says, I don't know, I do it. And I said, Jay, come on, it's fucking funny. He goes, John, the first lady's over here. I'm like, yeah, like she never heard the word fuck before. and Jay would always repeat that fucking story to everybody.
And what does she say?
Yeah, like you never heard the word fuck before. But anyway, so here it is. So I told you everything. I'm just going to do this, real quickly, give them how the Secret Service...
I was testing. Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, you got to at least. No one can see this.
I know.
You got to say the Baba Booey or no. Or
okay, anything. All right, that's fair.
But anyway, because for those listening, Royce was waving his hand. Nobody could see that. So, But anyway, so
Secret Service saw it.
So we celebrated on Friday. We did all the media. We were at Pickwick's Pub. That's the pub I hang out. I'm there every day at 4 o'clock. Royce and I had the greatest time, and we were celebrating. And then I get home around 7 o'clock, and two kids are, like, waiting in front of my door, you know, the neighborhood kids, you know, cool kids. And they said, John, two guys in suit jackets were banging on your door. And we asked them who they were, and they said they were from the Secret Service, and they showed their badges. And I think I called you. I was like, holy shit, man. And then when I went upstairs into my bed, I'm like, am I going to get fucking arrested? And then I heard more knocking, and I didn't go back down, you know, because I locked the door. I'm not even going near the door. And I'm like, holy shit, man, we can get fucking dicked on this. And then I think, so that's how that happened. And now you and I were questioning. We're like, were they real? Are they trying to play a prank on me? I didn't know it. And then I think that's the first time that we called Avenatti.
Well, no, well, if I could just interject one thing. It turns out you didn't do a good job of locking that door. Because after all this goes down the next morning, I don't hear from you. And you're not answered. And now, because of the way we left things at midnight,
yeah,
I'm thinking you've been detained by the Secret Service.
I know, that's right. Because you came into the house.
No, but your door was not locked.
Oh, no, you know what happened? I locked it. But remember I said I couldn't find my computer?
Okay.
So then I went outside to check in my car.
Yeah.
And then I came back and I forgot to lock it. That's true.
Yeah, but if the Secret Service is ambushing you, they're waiting for that moment.
I know. Oh, believe me, they can break down my door.
Yeah, I know, really.
I mean, it's not that hard. But anyway, so that's that. We call Avenatti. You know, he said, if he find out if it's real, then call me, you know, just, you know, then call me back. Then on Sunday, we do more press, and then I get a call from my agent, and she says, the Secret Service is looking for you. They called me. You know, I go, all right, Jenny, just do me a favor. Just text me the info, and I'll call them. And so then now I'm on the ball at Pickwick's. This is my thrown away from home. I'm sorry, Royce, to go into the gutter here, but it's true. I'm on the ball, and I call the Secret Service, and I go, hey, this is Stuttering John. And they're like, yeah, we want to schedule, you know, an appointment with you. Could you come down to our office downtown tomorrow? And I go, sure. They go, could you come at 10 a.m.? And I go, sure. I go, but let me ask you, are you just calling to interview me, ask me questions how I did this, or are you going to arrest me? They said, we can't say that. And I was shitting in my pants.
And this is the conversation between you and them, to clarify.
Yeah. So then I go, well, should I bring an attorney? And they said, if you want.
Bring several.
And now I'm shitting.
You already established that.
Yeah, and now, yes, that's what I mean. So anyway.
The Secret Service is like a laxative.
You stepped on my joke. I was going to say, no, literally, I was on the ball.
Oh, well, I didn't even think you saw that you said that.
No, I heard. No, you know what? Because I was writing this in the chapter of my book, and that's the joke I wrote.
Oh, God.
So anyway, but anyway, yeah. So then I'm like, holy crap. And then, you know, so I know. I'm sorry. So I flushed. I get up. And then, and then you know, of course, I wash my hands. I'm not Benji Brunk. He doesn't wash his hands because of bad. The guy's the grossest person in the world. Anyway, so then now TMZ's going to come interview us.
You did wash your hands.
Yeah.
Okay.
TMZ's going to interview me.
Yes.
And we're at the pub.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't believe this. So then we do the interview with TMZ. You had a barbecue that night, and then we went to your house, and then you called Avenatti, and then Avenatti.
No, he actually called me that night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then he said, yes, I'll represent you guys on this. And I can say this, right?
So far, I think we're okay.
Okay, he says, I can represent it. You guys, don't, whatever you do, do not go in tomorrow because you're not going to go in without me. And I will call in the next 2 or 3 days. Right?
Yes, that's a very good paraphrase of several conversations I probably had with him that day, because I think in the time you and I were in my backyard, there must have been 4 or 5.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I guess I hit the sauce too much that night.
And the drinking.
I did eat a lot. But
some good food, by the way.
Yeah, your wife Stephanie is a great cook. But yeah, so
we thought it was your last meal. She liked it.
So then that happened. So now but he said, because we had booked a CNN interview for that Monday, and he said, you know, let's postpone that because I want to do it with you. and we'll do it on Tuesday.
And
this is at 5:30 in the morning, the interview is.
Right. So if I could just say this for you, at that point is when we decided we just need to pull back because this is far more serious than...
No, but we were still going to do the CNN interview.
But what transpires from this point forward is very sensitive because now it literally did come down to if you continue to put yourself out there, you're going to give them a reason to come after you.
So then I think that's when he, Avenatti said, don't poke the bear.
Yeah, that phrase got uttered a lot in the last few days.
He kept saying, don't poke the bear, lay low, don't tweet about it, right? Don't do any more shows. You know, just, you don't want to poke the bear. Now, again, like in my mind, now the law is you can't impersonate a public official for the benefit of a monetary gain. That's how it reads, something like that.
Yeah.
We weren't trying to make any money. I'm not charging for this podcast.
And you weren't even, unlike Bill O'Reilly, you're not charging.
Unlike Anthony freaking Pockface Cumia, I'm not charging.
By the way, you've lapped him in Twitter followers.
Oh, not only that. Neither he nor Artie has said a word.
Of course.
Because, you know, it's like, you know, if you were so smart, Anthony, you would have done this, you dope.
Somebody tweeted Cumia, oh, hey, look, John surpassed you in Twitter followers. Now you're punching up.
I love it. Thanks, Royce. But anyway, so I'm going to lay low, and I'm shitting, but not, not literally now.
Yeah, let's move on.
Yeah. So then Royce, you know, so we're waiting, and I would be like, you know, like text him, see if he's going to call yet, like, you know, and I don't want to bother him because he's a busy guy. But then he tells us he's going to do CNN alone and don't do it.
Yeah, but then he didn't even talk about you.
Hold on. So then now I'm driving back from the pub, and I'm getting a little like, look, I love you, Michael, but you are, you know, you like to be on camera. I don't want to use the term media whore because that would be disrespectful.
Presidential.
Yes, but he likes to be on camera. And
I like how the other term for media whore is presidential.
Yes. Well, that is our president.
I'm just going off of current data.
Yeah. So then I'm like, okay, well, I'm thinking, I'm going, does he not want me to do it because he wants the camera for himself?
You think you got the Casey Armstrong bump?
Yeah, like I'm thinking, is Avenatti just pushing me aside so he can? So and you and I were always thinking about this in the beginning. We're like, is this him protecting me or is this him wanting the camera for himself? But I think in the great scheme of things, he was trying to protect me.
Well, not
which I'm totally grateful for.
Not to jump ahead, but later I'm sure you'll give us some further insight into that because, you know, you already brought this up, but you talked to Kathy.
Yeah.
And I think days later, we got closure on that. But we definitely put like a half a day into, did this guy just bump you and take all your press?
Yeah. So Kathy DMs me. Oh, yeah. That's what pisses me off. Then he does a CNN interview, and he doesn't mention me at all. He talks about Michael Cohen.
How dare they talk about Michael Cohen over you?
I know.
At least MSNBC got some of the some questions in on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he kind of circumvented those pretty eloquently too because he said like twice like John called me because everyone's now trying to look be like, "Hey, listen, you're like Gloria Allred."
Yeah. John called me. Which evidently was a smart call, you know, and both me and your wife, you know, thought about doing, let's call Avenatti.
He did say he thoroughly enjoyed your call. He found it to be funny.
Oh, did he?
He did say that. I think I'm allowed to say that, Michael.
Well, I'm happy. I made another president laugh, Michael, because I made Obama laugh when I was on Tonight Show with a bit when Jay hosted the White House correspondence.
Wow. I'm sure Trump was laughing when he was spanking Jared. So that's three presidents.
You have been remarkably close to a lot of presidential stuff.
I know. I mean, the whole Bill Clinton thing with Jennifer Flowers.
Oh, my God.
I have a picture with Bill because I saw him in Vegas.
Do you remember, by the way, because all these things are now, Don and I were talking about this earlier, they're popping up like naturally in our YouTube feed because of your name being all over our machines. Yeah. And so I saw the Jennifer Flowers interview the other day. And you had her cracking up the whole time.
I know. She was loving it, and her lawyer was getting so pissed.
Because he didn't... He said, I don't know how to deal with this.
I know. But, so then... Okay, so now we'll get into the real... So then you and I are having breakfast with a very successful producer of many shows. Huge. and he's got a show on the air now, and he DMs me and says, John, we have a show here. I think I could sell you a show for you. And that's around the same time Kathy Griffin DMs me, John, you got to call me. I have to talk to you. I love the call. Oh, but no. First, I asked Kathy if she'd write a blurb for the book, and she goes, fuck you. Write your own fucking book. Yeah. I asked her if I could use that as the blurb. She goes, yeah, you can use that.
A lot of people have been doing that for you.
Yes, I know. But anyway, so then we're having breakfast, and then Avenatti texts you, and he goes, call me, reference Secret Service, because you showed me it. And I'm like, okay, this is it. So then Royce is on the phone, and now we have to. So here's all, I guess, and you stop me. Here's what we could say. I'm not getting arrested at this moment. Is that okay to say?
It just depends how much more you're about to say.
Okay.
Yeah, it's literally, it's sincerely, and I know because I read all the Twitter stuff, people think that you're like prolonging this and goofing it. No.
No.
You're in a situation right now where if you let it go and you stop poking the bear,
yeah,
you'll be okay. If you give them a reason to come after you, they're going to come after you and make an example.
Should we make our YouTube channel be called Poke the Bear?
Stuttery John's Poke the Bear.
Maybe that's the show, Poke the Bear.
Well.
Maybe that's the show. Thank you, Mr. Avenatti. Poke the Bear. I like that. Let's talk to Daryl and see if he likes that.
Let's talk to the bear.
Sounds like a Japanese game show.
Yeah, Poke the Bear. But anyway, Avenatti tells us, look, like I said, lay low. Don't poke the bear. You don't have to meet with the Secret Service. You know, as of now, they're not going to arrest you.
Yeah.
But let's not piss them off.
Yeah, don't give them a reason.
Don't give them a reason to piss them off. And that's what we've been doing up until this podcast.
Yeah.
But see, here's the thing, Russ, and this is the one thing I said to you. I said, well, for how long? You know me. I'm also a media whore.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
you're very presidential, John.
I mean, how am I going to... I'm not going to do this anymore?
If you had your way, this would have never left the news cycle.
No, I would have been on everything. I would have done Casey's show.
Which, by the way, really makes you no different than Trump. Because here's a guy that's probably never going to leave the White House. You know what I mean?
I know. But then, yeah, I'm not going to say it. Now I'm going to talk about Kathy Griffin if you have to...
No.
Okay, so then, yeah, so that's the truth. And you know, when I said... I tweeted that due to the sensitivity of the situation, and it was true because Don, as you know, like we were so elated and we did the podcast on Tuesday and I'm pretty, you know, and I said things that would probably piss Avenatti off about this and the Secret Service,
yeah,
and the bear.
You were doing that at breakfast.
Yeah, so I'm glad we decided to redo it so I don't get my ass in jail because Royce, it's so funny because you would not go to jail. Like, the whole time that we're doing all this media, I'm sitting there going, like, I'm stressing. And, like, I, you know, you're loving it.
Oh, yeah.
But it's going to be my ass getting raped in jail.
Listen, I think you going to jail will be good for you for a variety of reasons we won't get into.
No, I mean, look, I can say that in my own opinion, and I think I've even tweeted this, if they did put me in jail... It would extend the whole another week's news cycle, maybe even a month.
I'd have to do a lot of interviews.
Yes.
That's why I want you in
jail.
Yes.
Yes. So talk. Yes, I know, but I mean, that's why, and I said this from the beginning, if Donald wanted to pursue this, it's just going to make him look worse and worse and worse.
Well, that's why the idea of you kind of stepping back eases the tension, because it's got to be tough from their vantage point to not make an example of this, because now you've just opened the can of worms for a lot of people to try to do the same stupid thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure they would love to make an example of you, but they also don't want to keep you in the cycle.
Yeah, so so as of now, I'm going to be okay. And I know my kids were asking me, and they were concerned. And even though the maximum you could do for something like this is 3 years.
Which really... I'm sure it would get knocked down if you behaved yourself.
Yeah, for like 6 months. But really, it only takes one night for a guy to...
President Avenatti to rape pardon you.
I mean, you'll be like my friend said, you're a small guy, John. You're going to get raped.
Just wondering. Well, see, the next call should be to Trump for a pardon.
Well, yeah. No, okay. So then... So let me, you know, stay focused here. So Kathy Griffin then calls me. I'm at Royce's Arcade Warehouse. That's where we record the podcast. And Kathy calls me, and she's just like, and she told me, she goes, John, because I asked her about Avenatti. Is this him just wanting to, you know, steal the camera from her? She's like, no. Avenatti is trying to protect you. I said, would you have used Avenatti during your thing? And she said, absolutely. I just can't. I can't believe you even got him to be your, you know, attorney. And she told me, she goes, look, this is serious. She said that when she did the head thing, first of all, Harvey Levin, who I'm calling in a little while, Harvey Levin, got her banned from every comedy club in America. She had to do stand up outside the country. She also told me she was on the no-fly list, and she was something with Interpol. And she said that they're dinging me. This is the ding. The Secret Service is dinging me. That's what she said. They're trying to rein me in.
They can't do that with you.
Well, that's the problem. That's the problem. But you know, and then like every other word out of her mouth was like, listen, you misogynist asshole. The whole time she's like, listen, you fucking prick. And she was doing it like 20 minutes. I go, Kathy, I love you. I thought we were friends. She's like, oh, I'm just kidding.
I think that's like 60-40.
You know, and then I go, yeah, probably. You know, more that she's not kidding.
Yeah.
And then I go, are you going to be doing stand-up out here? I'd love to see you. She goes, John, I guess you didn't hear. I sold out the Carnegie Hall and Radio City Music Hall. I'm the only comic to ever do that in the same week. And I'm like, oh, no, I didn't hear about that, Kelly. But I'm asking if you're going to be doing any shows in L.A.?
Yeah.
She goes, yes, I'm going to be at the Dolby Theater July 20th. I said, could you comp me for some tickets? Fuck you. I'm not comping you. Fucking buy a ticket, you cheap fuck.
Wow.
I know. She's just like putting me down. Like,
so why did she want to talk to you?
That's the whole, I don't get it. And I love Kathy, but I didn't get why she was doing this. It was weird, but I guess she just wanted to tell me to be careful. They're not messing around. And to take Avenatti's advice.
And that you're a misogynistic pig.
Yeah, I don't even know where that comes from.
Probably the last conversation you had with her.
You know, I'll tell you a good story about Kathy and a bad story about Kathy.
Oh, God.
The good story, the funny, this is in my book, which is called Easy For You To Say. It's out in bookstores October 16th. You can pre-order it now and you get a signed copy. Anyway,
by Jared Kushner.
By Senator Bob Menendez.
Yeah, there you go.
But she, so she's on the Tonight Show. I'm in a suit because they dressed me. That was the biggest mistake the Tonight Show made. They hire Stuttering John and then they try and change him into Ed McMahon. It's just not, you know. And I'm in the suit, whatever. So I'm in the, and then you know, so we hang out a little bit. I talk to her. Then the show's over. I go to my dressing room. I change into like, you know, jeans, a denim jacket, T-shirt, and I get on my Harley. And now I'm driving my Harley, and I drive up to her limo. And so I'm knocking the window, like, you know, and she's looking at me like, who the fuck are you? And I'm like, so finally I go, roll down a window. She rolls down a window. She goes, yes. I go, Kathy, it's Stuttering John. I changed. She goes, into who, Dennis Hopper? It's a great line. She has that Joan Rivers kind of wit, like quick wit. But here's one that is in the book. And Kathy, I'm sorry, but it's true. Jay was on the show. Jay's a comedian. Kathy goofs on every celebrity known. I mean, she is the roaster, you know. I mean, she's the female Jeff Ross. She, you know, so she shows a picture of like her and Brooke Shields. You know, they used to do that
Suddenly Susan.
Suddenly Susan. So Jay goes, hey, it looks like a before and after picture. And then, you know, she takes it. She gets off the show and is crying. Mad at Jay. How dare you do that? Embarrass me. She won't even leave her dressing room for an hour. Jay's going in there. I'm like, Kathy, I'm fine. I thought you're a comedian. I'm just making a joke. She goes out to the parking, you know, midway, still carrying it on with Jay, you know, like mad at him and arguing with him and crying. From that,
all Jay had to do was go, Kathy, I thought you were the after.
I know. And that's, and you know, it's weird. I was at the party last night, and this girl, Crystal, the girl that was, you know, who I was meeting when the phone call happened, she said, Kathy Griffin, oh, she's got the greatest body. I'm like, Kathy Griffin? Really? And yeah, then
she's tight.
And Ross Matthews came up. He goes, yeah, you didn't know that? I go, no. I had no idea.
You didn't know that. Her whole thing was index?
Getting in the bikini on New Year's Eve the past
year. I guess so. See, I don't really follow her career. I mean, not because I don't like her, because I don't. I did see her at Caroline. I told her that she's really funny. She does a great show.
She's definitely funny. I definitely agree with the comparison to Joan Rivers.
Yeah. So. But anyway, so Kathy, you know, said lay low, and she gave me, you know, all the things that happened to her and how the Trump administration really went after her, and they want to make example of her. But again, what she did was way worse. I exposed how badly, you know, Trump's security is. She did something that was important. Oh, this is what she told me. She said that they judge it by three things, like as if she, you know, as if she really wanted to do that. One, does she have the financial ability? Yes, she has enough money to fly herself into the White House. You know, and B, does she have a reason? Yeah, she doesn't like Trump. So they go through this protocol, and that's why they could, you know, they could put her in jail, because she can be a threat.
Yeah.
And I think, and then the last one is what got her out, but now I'm forgetting, but it was something where, but she's a comedian, and it's not like she was serious, and that's what got her out of it.
Yeah, like the most you're going to do is pull up on a motorcycle and throw a Coors Light can at the White House window.
Right. Yes, well, and that's what she said. She said, John, the one thing you got going for you is, A, you're a comedian, B, you're on the Howard Stern Show, and this is what you did.
Yeah.
So, and even Donald, if you're listening, I'm sure you are. I'm sure your security team is listening. By the way, Royce, you know that my cell phone's being tapped every
call. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you don't have to say what you're going to say.
Yeah, I know.
You don't have to, but you know.
I know what I was going to say.
Yeah, but you, just trust me, I know that my cell phone is tapped. I know they're listening. And I'm guessing it's part of White House protocol. So, I mean, you know, so I should start doing some funny phone calls.
You should just do it to yourself. You should just start doing a private show for the Secret Service on your phone.
I should. I go, hey, how you doing?
Hey, it's the Stuttery John cell phone.
Hey, it's the Poke the Bear show.
Can I bounce back real quick?
Yeah, okay. I thought I covered everything.
No. I just, because Bob Menendez
has
gotten so much press off of this.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And
that's
he's still not fighting this immigration thing. And this, you've said this 100 times, so I'm only repeating your words. This is the problem with Washington.
Yeah, this is why we have to, and I said it on a couple of shows, this is the dysfunction of Washington, is Bob Menendez is on a show, and he's saying, I wish I could talk to the president about immigration. Well, then pick up the phone, Bob.
It's not that hard. He'll never get a call through.
Never.
But no, that is the problem in Washington, because if they all just talk to each other, I'm sure they can find a middle ground.
It's like Moe on The Simpsons. Listen, you little son of a
bitch. I apologize.
Are you guys doing a private joke?
No. But Don just made me realize, you know, you're giving this guy a hard time. He might literally never be able to get the president on the phone again.
Nice try.
I don't think he ever tried. And that's the problem. And that's the problem in Washington is, like, if they just talk, like, I know Donald Trump, and he used to be a Democrat. You just got to, like, wave a shiny object and just, you'll get him to agree to something. You know, at least, because he wants to be liked. Like Howard Stern has said, he doesn't know why Donald Trump, you know, has become president, because he wants to be liked.
It's the ultimate ego boost.
Yeah, so he's hated now by 51% of the country.
Yeah.
So, you know, and probably even more at this point. But, I mean, you know, but he, knowing Donald, he probably would try to make something work if the actual senator Menendez would call him. So now let's talk, Royce. Where do we go from here? See, it's really hard to, you know, we opened with our closer.
Yeah, I mean, we really should air old episodes at this point.
I mean, because, I mean, you know, like Don has the clips, you know, we can call people as Donald Trump now because we have all the little bites. Or, you know, we can try and call Senator Bob Menendez. I know we both tried to reach out to him.
And
he won't respond.
I've had a couple communiques with Senator Bob Menendez's office expressing your gratitude and your desire to turn the conversation back onto these kids and immigration as a whole, which is really, as the president stated, an issue for everybody. Yeah. And there's no response there. Even the few times I've seen him on the news, he's just dancing around it. He's not going to do anything. You know why? He's another corrupt Democrat. That's the problem.
Yeah. So that's what we're dealing with. I know we ran. Royce was my campaign manager. That's how like we became close friends. And I was trying to run to be the next senator of the great state of California. Here's the problem, Royce. We didn't have the money. We didn't have the funds to like continue a campaign.
We did this whole thing backwards because now you've got Elaine Boozler who can make campaign contributions.
Yeah, so now I think we should try again.
2020, I think you should run for something.
Yeah, let's just find out what's open.
I think you should be Avenatti's VP.
How about congressman? Congressman might be easier, to get.
Congressman, state senator, but I think with this platform, who knows?
Because just like, one of my favorite moments is at the end of a CNN roundtable, they go, you know what, I gotta say, Mr. Melendez asked some pretty damn good questions.
Well,
I was like, wow, that's cool. Thank you.
It was super cool. And then just to pull the veil back on that, you're like, you only ask the questions that are on the thoughts and minds of most of the country, and yet nobody seems to get to the president to ask these questions.
But his reputation would make you think that, Stuttering John called the president. That's what the call is going to be.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, what do you think Cyclops is going to say at the next press conference,
Oh, God.
Sarah Huckabee.
Announce the Goonies sequel.
Cyclops. She's like Columbo. She's got the AI. Hey, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, she's got the built-in furrowed brow.
and she's always angry. She's always like, he's chosen the worst press secretaries, I think, out of anybody.
Dude, she did a walk and talk interview the other day, and she's walking like a bull in a china shop, and they can hardly keep up with her. I don't know if she was trying to run away or do an interview.
No. Domino's had delivered.
Yeah. There was an episode of Bill Maher and Larry. Help me out. Larry Wilmore was on there, and he like off the cuff called her. Sarah Colonel Sanders Huckabee. And then half the audience groans and he just goes, I don't even know what I just said.
Look, I can fat shame because I'm fat. I don't want to hear it. It's like if you're African American, you can use the N-word. If I'm Puerto Rican, I can make Hispanic jokes. I'm fat. So don't tell me I'm fat shaming.
Forget that. She's sitting there spewing lies for this administration. Forget about fat shame here. Just shame her for being a shameful person.
Yes. So what do you think? Do you think Cyclops is going to get, is she going to get asked the question, since this call?
No.
No?
No, I think that opportunity already passed because she probably would have already been asked it. I think you should call her next.
Well, yeah. Well, that's where we're going to end this. Who should we call next?
Well, obviously, anybody named Bob. Start there.
I have a big list of people.
Yeah, we got it.
What was that, Mr. President?
I have a big list of people.
And it's just Kathy Griffin over and
what
over.
What other clips do you have?
We're proud of you.
We should just go, if we call Bob Menendez.
Yeah.
And we just said, hi, Bob.
Great job.
Great job. We're proud of you.
Yeah.
I mean, we can carry it on, and then I'll go, oh, I'm sorry. We got cut off. This is so more. Let me ask you some questions, Mr. Menendez, on the senator's behalf.
I think you should see if you can get Sean Moore on some, podcast or something. I will tell you, I did get a response from Mark Hamill's People yesterday on July 4th, thanking us for reaching out, saying that he wasn't going to do any more interviews because of The Last Jedi and everything.
Yeah, that's what he said to me because I tweeted him and do you want to come on the podcast, and he said he's trying to lay low now.
So I just on the side requested that, hey, if you wanted to re-record Donald's part of the call as the Joker, we wouldn't stop you.
For those who don't know, Mark Hamill plays the Joker in the animated Batman.
Oh, but he tweets out Donald Trump tweets in the voice of the Joker.
Oh, yeah.
He reads tweets.
Oh, I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
I love Mark Hamill. And I know I'm going off focus here, but, Mark Hamill was very upset of how they portrayed his character in The Last Jedi. Yeah. I rewatched it, and I get it. Why did they turn him into this negative, miserable, Jedi, he hated himself, I mean, why do they do that?
We should call him and find out.
There's so many ways to go.
Yeah.
Why do that, Ryan? What was
Ryan Johnson. Yeah. I respect the fact that Mark Hamill spoke out like that.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I respect it too, but you know, we can talk, you know, our next podcast should be about films because we got Star Wars, Jaws. I mean, they're all the iconic films, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, Field of Dreams. One of the best films ever made. There's not a time that I don't watch that movie when he says, "You want to have a catch, Dad?" And he said, "I would love that." I'm getting chills as I said. Tears rolled down my eyes. Is that happening to you?
I'm watching you cry makes me cry.
Have you ever seen it?
Yo, hundreds of times.
Yeah,
it's a great movie.
I love that movie. And that's with the fellow stutterer, you know, James Earl Jones.
Oh, there you go.
The voice of Darth Vader was a stutterer. Could you imagine that? And so it was.
And the Luke, voice of CNN.
Luke, I am your daddy.
There's so much overlap.
But anyway, thanks everybody for listening to the Stuttering John podcast. We'll be back next week. Royce, we can sit, and Don, we can sit and talk who we're going to call next. Let's try and get somebody on. You know, even if we get a congressman or woman on. But I really want to start moving into this arena where we, you know, actually have real dialogue with these people.
I think that's really important. If the takeaway from all of this is you starting to ask tough questions to people that don't want to answer them, I think that's where you take this. And I'd be curious, as I'm sure you would, to hear what these listeners would love of you to do next.
We live in a world full of people who don't want to answer them. The people we elect to answer them don't want to answer
them. But maybe somebody out there has a congressman that isn't taking care of a local issue. Maybe we need to get Stuttering John on it for you.
I told Daryl, as I used to, you know, I pitched a bid on the Tonight Show, you know, Stuttering John to the Rescue, where I get...
This is it.
I get two people, even if it's like a brother and a sister who have been estranged and won't talk, I come in and I mediate the whole thing.
Yeah, it's like your bar rescue.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That's like the local news. They always have the problem solvers.
So, Daryl is going to meet with us to speak about the show, so we should try to remember this conversation.
Well, thank God it's been recorded in perpetuity. But again, if anyone has any thoughts, if there's any, at the local level, congressmen, state senators, and you want John to reach out and try to make things right or ask the tough questions, I think that's an awesome way for you to move forward.
Yeah, and you know what? And for an extra $5, I'll do it as Sean Moore.
No. $10.
$10.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Don, for your great job putting all those sound bites together. Royce, thanks again as usual for keeping me focused. And go to Royce's Arcade Warehouse. And if you're in L.A., go to Royce's Arcade Warehouse in Chatsworth. Royce's Arcade Warehouse. What's your deal? Free game. This guy's got over 300 video games, some new, some retro, from Ms. Pac-Man, Space Invaders, Missile Command. And for $5 or $10?
$5, all you can play all day, or $10 for the month. And we have a new game now called Call the President. So it's a Nintendo.
No, great job. It's called Poke the Bear.
Thank you, Don.
And anyway, thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
The Stuttering John podcast is recorded live in high fidelity stereo sound and can be heard on iTunes, but you knew that already. Hey, what are you doing later? Can I call you? What's your number?